and just the hand claps.
Singing was good.
I like the singing.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theatre in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Rita Chuck Petroskis in St. Paul, Minnesota. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Take your Wellingtons off, children, and Mammy will tell you a pleasant story.
Good evening, you're listening to Foraging Ahead, and I'm Kevin Factor. Today, an hour of the banal, the forgotten, the arcane, the forsaken, and the trivial, a claptrap of American campaigning, songs and slogans throughout the history of this great nation of ours, how the fate of the world has hung on some really, really, really mean little words. The 1840 campaign is the first campaign that we really have like a modern American slogan, and that was Tippecanoe and Tyler too. And that's William Henry Harrison's slogan. He was in the Battle of Tippecanoe in 1811, and he was really hot on John Tyler, his running mate. And he was running against Van Buren, whose only slogan was independent treasury and liberty. Oscar Brand, the musician and folky, put together an entire album of presidential campaign songs. And I've been going through them, and I'm going to bring you a bunch of them. I have to warn you, he sounds a lot like Pete Seeger, which is not a bad thing, and he also plays the banjo. But he did go through all this sheet music and resurrected American campaign songs. So we're going to start with a rousing edition of James Madison, Huzzah.
Now have the foes of freedom sought our happy union to divide. For which our heroes bravely fought, for which our patriots bravely died. But vain their efforts all have proved, the temple still unshaken stands. Nor by the power of faction moved, nor leveled by rebellion's hands.
huzzah for Madison, huzzah for Union and America, huzzah for Madison, huzzah for Union and America.
Huzzah really should make a comeback, I think, as a rallying cry. Sounds very medieval, almost like a madrigal. We're going to skip ahead and get into some of the nitty-gritty. It really starts getting interesting with Martin Van Buren. Now, you'll notice as we go through some of these songs, most of them are taken from popular tunes of the day, and they just change the words. Later on in American campaigns, you'll have purpose-written songs for that particular candidate. And then even later, you'll just have candidates just taking songs that are popular, that have a catchy line that resonates with them. They don't listen to the rest of the song, and then the artist eventually gives them a cease and desist order. But here's a nasty little piece for Martin Van Buren, Rockabye Baby. You'll recognize this one.
Rockabye baby, daddy's a Whig. When he comes home, art cider he'll swig. When he has swag, he'll fall in a stew. And down will come Tyler and Tippecanoe. Rockabye baby, when you awake, you will discover Tip is a fake. Far from the battle, war cry and drum, he sits in his cabin a-drinking bad rum. Rockabye baby, never you cry, you need not fear old Tip and his tie. What they would ruin, Van Buren will fix. Van's a magician, they are but tricks.
Savage, savage from the presidential election of 1844. Next, we're going to move on to Lincoln, right? I mean, Lincoln, he was something, right? 1856, some of the slogans the guys running before the 1860 election, obviously, with Lincoln, we had free soil, free labor, free speech, free men, Fremont. That's the 56 campaign of John Fremont. That's catchy. But that lost to Will Buckham in 56. And that was James Buchanan playing on Old Buck, the nickname associated with him. And they also had We Poked Him in 44, We Pierced Him in 52, and Will Buckham in 56. Now, in the 1860 campaign, you had Lincoln, you had Douglas, and John Bell. And Lincoln's, surprisingly, vote yourself a horse and a farm, which is nice. And he was referring to the law granting homesteads on the American frontier areas of the West. Another one of his was the Union must and shall be preserved. Well, he kept that one. But his opponent, Stephen Douglas, the champion of popular sovereignty, which probably would have led to the dissolution of the United States, and the Union and the Constitution was John Bell's rallying cry. But we're gonna take a look at Lincoln and Liberty, and this is by Ronnie Gilbert from the Weavers.
Thank you. hurrah for the choice of the nation. Our chieftain so brave and so true. We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too. We'll go for the son of Kentucky, the hero of Hoosiers and through. For pride of the suckers so lucky, for Lincoln and liberty too. Then up with the banner so glorious, the star-spangled red, white, and blue. Fight till our banner's victorious for Lincoln and liberty too. All you true friends of the nation, attend to humanity's call. Come aid in the slave's liberation and roll on the liberty ball. And roll on the liberty ball. And roll on the liberty ball. In the slave's liberation and roll on the liberty ball. We'll finish the temple of freedom and make it capacious within, that all who seek shelter may find it, whatever the hue of their skin. Whatever the hue of their skin. Whatever the hue of their skin. Seek shelter, may find it, whatever the hue of their skin. Success to the old-fashioned doctrine that men are created all free, and down with the power of the despot, wherever his stronghold may be. Wherever his stronghold may be. Wherever his stronghold may be. And down with the power of the despot,
A classic. Lincoln's 1864 re-election campaign predictably said, quote, "Don't change horses midstream," and for Union and Constitution. And his opponent, George B. McClellan, the former general of the Army of the Potomac, an honorable, permanent, and happy peace. Needless to say, McClellan did not win. But this theme of don't change horses in midstream, common in American politics, almost as common as time for a change, which is pretty much every election these days. We're going to move forward a few years and to some of the more obscure American presidents, the presidents that nobody really ever remembers. In 1884, you have Grover Cleveland, and this was a period of massive immigration in the country and a reaction against it. So the Republican attacks on supposed Democratic support for alcoholic beverages, Catholic immigrants, and their sympathy for the Confederacy manifest itself in a slogan of rum, Romanism, and rebellion. So that was a slur hurled at the Democrats back in 1884. I am still kind of for rum and Romanism and a little bit of rebellion. James Blaine supporters against Grover Cleveland referred to the allegations that Cleveland had fathered an illegitimate child, and their cry was, "Ma, Ma, where's my pa?" And when Cleveland won the White House, they retorted, "Gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha." And then another great one from Cleveland is Blaine, Blaine, James G. Blaine, the continental liar from the state of Maine. So things weren't always high-minded. But there's a song from around the time of the Grover Cleveland campaign, and which is a real... It's cynical in an inclusive way, and it's called the Dodger Song, and we're going to give that a listen now. Oh, looks like we're not going to give that a listen. Hang on.
Our country calls on us tonight, Democrats, good Democrats, to battle bravely for the right. Democrats, good Democrats, 8 years ago we won the prize, and then were robbed by tricks and lies of freedom's foes in friend's disguise. Democrats. Our country calls on us tonight, Democrats, good Democrats, to battle bravely for the right. Democrats, good Democrats, 8 years ago we won the prize, and then were robbed by tricks and lies of freedom's foes in friend's disguise. Democrats, good Democrats. Our gallant Cleveland is the man. Democrats, good Democrats, to whip the whole Blaine Logan clan.
So this is basically just want to get you out to vote and then have you take a nap. That was the key to their victory, I think. I'm going to move a little bit forward. William McKinley and William Jennings Bryant faced off in 1896, and the big issue back then was protectionism, empire, and whether or not the United States should get off the gold standard and adopt the silver standard for its currency. And you know, Nixon took us off the gold standard altogether, and the world didn't fall apart, but different world, 1896. So William Jennings Bryan, his slogan was "No cross of gold, no crown of thorns." Now, Bryan actually ran for president 3 times. Super interesting American character. He's famous in Inherit the Wind as a defendant, as the defense attorney for, or the prosecution for, in the Scopes Monkey trial, but he was a populist and complicated fellow. William McKinley, patriotism, protection, and prosperity. But this is a song from the Library of Congress archives for William Jennings Bryan.
Way out in Nebraska on the River Platte lives a man who don't know where he's at. In public office he has never had a stool, but he has more gold than a government mule. He made a lot of money stumping through the land with his foghorn voice and his Democratic band. He says in public office, if I fail to live, I'll have some cash on hand. Oh, every little bit added to what I've got makes just a little bit more. Every time I make a big stump speech, it's $100 at my door. What if the people go and turn me down? Still at next election time, I'll be around. Cause every little bit added to what I've got makes just a little bit more.
Hear the call throughout the land, come and proudly take your stand. Now uphold your chieftain's hand, Roosevelt the cry. Blow the bugle, beat the drum, from the north and south they come, from the east and west they come, Roosevelt the cry. Name McKinley's too, they traduced and would I knew, trust them, I will not, would you? Roosevelt the cry. Let the Democrat named Hill all his evil venom spill, yet he'll taste a bitter pill. Roosevelt the cry. If
History shall write his name on the immortal scroll of fame. They shall all his deeds proclaim. Roosevelt the cry. Roosevelt the soldier true. Roosevelt the statesman too. Sane for me and safe for you. Roosevelt the cry.
Okay, that one was of course for Teddy Roosevelt, the original Roosevelt, and his 1904 campaign was to assure continued prosperity and national unity, prosperity, and advancement. And in 1908, he stepped aside for Taft, and then he changed his mind in 1912 and ran again. But in 1908, Taft took up his cry of a square deal for all, and that's where his nephew, FDR, got the New Deal. But Taft also had a great slogan, vote for Taft now, you can vote for Bryan anytime, alluding to the fact that Bryan ran and ran and ran and ran. So we'll hear, I guess, a Taft song.
The time has come, the fight is on. We pick the man to run for president. Ohio sent her noble, worthy son. The man we need, the man to lead our strong and mighty craft through storm at sea to victory. It's William Howard Taft. Ah, get on a raft with Taft, boys, get on the winning boat. The man worthwhile with a friendly smile will get the honest vote. He'll save the country, sure, boys, from Bryan, Hearst, and Graft. So all join in, we're sure to win. Get on a raft with Taft. Of Bryan's bluff we've had enough. He'll talk you deaf and blind. The million trusts he's going to bust are only in his mind. Seems he has run since Washington first started in the game. If his legs were gone, he'd keep right on a-running just the same. Oh, get on a raft with Taft, boys, get on the winning boat. The man worthwhile with a friendly smile, he'll get the honest vote. He'll save the country, sure, boys, from Bryan, Hearst, and Graft. So all join in, we're sure to win. Get on a raft with Taft, get on a raft with Taft. Get on a raft with Taft.
That would not have been advisable. Howard Taft was famously huge, and he would have tipped that raft. But in 1912, Taft ran again for the seat, and he was opposed by Teddy Roosevelt, who started his own party, the Bull Moose Party, and a guy named Woodrow Wilson. The only thing that apparently that Howard Taft, William Howard Taft, the campaign could come up with is, it's nothing but fair to leave Taft in the chair. they, of course, did not win that. and Woodrow Wilson, vote for 8-hour Wilson, right? I'm for Wilson and an 8-hour day, the man of the 8-hour day, Woodrow Wilson. Those of you who have ever wondered, why do we work 8 hours and not 10 or 12 or 5 days a week? Why do we have a weekend? The early 1900s, this time, 1912, 1916, the 8-hour workday became a thing. And poor Roosevelt changed his mind, and he's still working on the square deal. But we're going to hear a little bit from Woodrow Wilson. We're going to hear from Oscar Brand again. I'm sorry, the other stuff is not loading, so we're going to hear mostly Oscar Brand. He's not unpleasant.
now convention days are over and election time is near. From east and west, from north to south, there's just one name in every mouth when a fella meets a fella. And he says to him, what's yours? He says, I think I'll have to drink to the Democratic cause. It's a Wilson, that's all. Wilson, that's all. Who strikes the public sentiment? Say, who will be our president? It's a Wilson, that's all. You'll hear them call. Tammany, Tammany. While on the street, or on the car, while at your home, or at the bar, it's a Wilson, 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 that's all. Billy Taft had his steamroller, Teddy's hat was in the ring. Clark came to town with his darned old hound. Wilson kicked it all around. Billy Bryan, he made speeches. Not a delegate would fall till someone sang, how dry I am. And the crowd began to call, hey, Wilson, that's all. Wilson, that's all. Who strikes the public sentiment? Say, who will be our president? It's Wilson, that's all. You'll hear them call, Tammany, Tammany. While on the street, or on the car, while at your home, or at the bar, it's a Wilson, 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 that's all.
Wilson, 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 that's all. The 1916 election, the United States had not yet gotten into World War One, and there was much debate about whether or not we should enter it. There was much debate about whether or not we should have entered it. But in 1916, we see Charles Evan Hughes was running against Wilson, and his slogan was America First and America Efficient. So that's been recycled. And Woodrow Wilson, unironically, in 1916, also used the slogan, he has kept us out of war. He has proved the pen mightier than the sword. He was famous as a very smart guy. He was a professor. War in the East, peace in the West. Thank God for Woodrow Wilson. War in Europe, peace in America. God bless Wilson. And, of course, he did not keep us out of the war. And after Wilson's second term, we had Warren G. Harding running for president. And this was his campaign.
We need a man to guide us, who'll always be beside us. A man who is a fighter through and through. A man who'll make the White House shine out like a lighthouse. And Mr. Harding, we've selected you. So it's Harding, lead the GOP. Harding, on to victory. We're here to make a fuss. Warren Harding, you're the man for us. We know we'll always find you with Coolidge right behind you, and Coolidge never fails, you must agree. We know he will be guarding the nation just like Harding when you are both in Washington, D.C. So it's Harding, lead the GOP. Harding, on to victory. We're here to make a fuss. Warren Harding, you're the man for us. Warren Harding, you're the man for us.
What else can you really say about Warren G. Harding? Except return to normalcy. That's what he was interested in. And, look at this. America First, his 1920 U.S. presidential campaign theme. tapping into isolationism and anti-immigrant sentiment after World War One. Now, 1922, the days, years, I should say, leading up to the Great Depression, the 19th presidential campaign slogan of Calvin Coolidge, not brilliant, just riffing on his name, keep cool and keep Coolidge.
In a quaint New England farmhouse on an early summer's day, a farmer's boy became our chief in a homely, simple way. With neither pomp nor pageantry, he firmly met the task. To keep him on that job of his is all the people ask. So keep cool and keep Coolidge is the slogan of the day. Keep cool and keep Coolidge for the good old USA. A lot of politicians cannot do a thing but knock, but Calvin Coolidge is a man of action and not talk. So keep cool and keep Coolidge in the White House 4 years more. We have a chance to do it in this year of 24. He's been tried, he's never wanting, he is giving of his best. So keep cool and keep Coolidge in our country's mighty test. With a private life of virtue and a public record clean, he stands upon the summit with a countenance serene. Defender of the righteous and a juggernaut to wrong, we'll make him stay in Washington 100 million strong. So keep cool and keep Coolidge is the slogan of the day. Keep cool and keep Coolidge for the good old USA. A lot of politicians cannot do a thing but knock, but Calvin Coolidge is a man of action and not talk. So just keep cool and keep Coolidge in the White House 4 years more. We have a chance to do it in this year of 24. He's been tried, he's never wanting, he is giving of his best. So keep cool and keep Coolidge in our country's mighty test.
Wow. I do believe that song is more memorable than Calvin Coolidge himself. Keep cool and keep Coolidge. His opponent was John W. Davis, and he was usually used in conjunction with an illustration of the Teapot Rock to highlight the Teapot Dome scandal. And his was Honest Days with Davis. Did not fly. So we're moving into the year just before the Great Depression, and who but Hoover, right? 1928, U.S. presidential campaign slogan, who but Hoover, and also a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. I'm for that, if you like chicken, unless you're a vegetarian. There's not a lot of vegetarians back then. He also, his 1932 campaign slogan in the depths of the Great Depression was, "We are turning the corner." There turned out to be quite a few corners to turn, and he was not at the wheel when that happened. But let's hear what his campaign song sounds like.
Lindbergh flew the ocean, he flew all the way to France. Most of the way he flew by the seat of his pants. Good old American, know how that's the way it ought to be. And if he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. Herbert Hoover is the only man can keep our country free. helped us beat the Kaiser. Now he'll give us 4 years more. He'll serve as our president to keep our country free. And if he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. If he's good enough for Lindy, he's good enough for me. Herbert Hoover is the only man to keep our country free.
If he's good enough for Lindy, that he's referring to, of course, Charles Lindbergh, who was the famous pilot, flew across the Atlantic, but was also very sympathetic to Hitler and was also very much involved in the America First movement before World War II. So Hoover, obviously on the outs. Happy Days Are Here Again. Now, that's the Franklin Delano Roosevelt campaign slogan and song. Sadly, I don't know that I got the downloaded. We'll try that. Well, we're going to have to roll past Roosevelt, which is a shame, until that gets loaded. And go for Harry S. Truman. It's kind of sad, but yeah, Harry S. Truman. He just took a popular song and used it. And it was, this is a 1921 song written by UB Blake, and it's actually kind of a fun song, but I'm just wild about Harry.
There's just one fellow for me in this world. Harry's his name, that's what I claim. For every fellow there must be a girl. I found my mate by kindness of fate. Yes, I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy and just like honey from the bee. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about, cannot do without, he's just wild about me.
Talk about me, baby.
I'm just wild about Harry.
Oh, good.
Harry's wild about me.
Tell the world.
Ah, the heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy.
Be careful, honey.
He's sweet just like chocolate candy.
That's me.
Just like honey from the bee.
Oh, baby.
Oh, I'm just wild about Harry.
And guess what?
And he's just right. Wild about, cannot do right. About, he's just wild about me.
All right, that was Harry S. Truman's theme song. It's not a bad catchy theme song. But now we're actually going to go back in time briefly to a couple of tunes for Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The guy gets two songs because he did a pretty good job for, you know, three terms and change. So this is the one he's most famous for. Happy Days Are Here Again. This is by Ben Selvin. This next Roosevelt song lets you kind of know why Happy Days are here again, and this is by the New Lost City Ramblers.
Just hand me my old Martin, for soon I will be starting back to dear old Charleston far away. Since Roosevelt's been reelected, we'll not be neglected. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Since Roosevelt's been elected, moonshine liquor's been corrected. We've got legal wine, whiskey, beer, and gin. Take a drink of brandy and let myself be handy. Good old times are coming back again.
Hallelujah!
You can laugh and tell a joke. You can dance and drink and smoke. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. We'll have money in our jeans. We can travel with the Queen. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. No more bread lines, we're glad to say. The donkey won election day. No more standing in the blowing snow and rain. He's got things in full sway. We're all a-working and a-getting our pay. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
Back again.
We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again. Since Roosevelt's been elected, moonshine liquor's been corrected. We've got Franklin D. Roosevelt back again.
Oh, yeah. Moonshine liquor's been corrected. That's why the happy days are back. So Roosevelt, he ran in, 32, 36, 40, and 44. And he had different slogans for each of those times. There was a lot going on. His 36 campaign slogan was simply, "Remember Hoover?" Right. Yeah. Well, I guess people did, and they gave him another term. His opponent was Alfred M. Landon, and he said his was, "Let's make it a landslide." Never a good job. Never a good idea to pun, right? Life, liberty, and Landon. That didn't stick either. "Let's get another deck" was another one of his attempts, saying... using the metaphor of the New Deal cards, for Roosevelt. Another one of his that did not really make it with the public was "Defeat the New Deal and its reckless spending." The Republican Party seems to have been working on that slowly for the last 70, 80 years. In 1940, Roosevelt's third run for office was better a third termer than a third rater. Now, mind you, this was historic. No American president had served more than two terms. And I want Roosevelt again. And Wendell Willkie was his opponent. And his was Willkie for the millionaires, Roosevelt for the millions. That's good. I think someone should rework that. Carry on with Roosevelt. It's somewhat banal. Wendell Willkie, his 1940 presidential campaign slogan was no third term. It's a clever one. Roosevelt for ex-president. That's a nice one. We want Willkie, win with Willkie. Bunch of guys sitting up in a room. Alliteration is all they can handle. 1944, Roosevelt's campaign, don't swap horses in midstream. That reminiscent of Lincoln's 1864 election. We're going to win the war and the peace that follows. That's another Franklin Roosevelt one. And his opponent, Tom Dewey. Hang down your head, Tom Dewey. Dewey or don't we? That was the best they came up with. Though the second best was win the war quicker with Dewey and Bricker. I guess that was his vice presidential nominee. So we already covered Truman. Truman had some great ones in terms of slogans. The buck stops here. And oh, sorry, I forgot. In 1928, Al Smith, who ran against Hoover and lost to Hoover in 1928. Remember, this is the end of Prohibition, or Prohibition is still going on, 1920s. Bad idea, lasted a real long time. Al Smith's campaign slogan was, make your wet dreams come true. I kid you not. 1928, he wanted to repeal Prohibition, and, you know, people were randy back then, as they are now. Moving back forward, we're doing Dwight D. Eisenhower. So we're going to roll from Dwight D. Eisenhower, classic I Like Ike, right? Deep thoughts on that one. I Like Ike. In 56, it was I Still Like Ike. And his opponent in 56, Adlai Stevenson and Estes Kefauver, were Adlai and Estes the bestest. That didn't fly. Dwight D. Eisenhower.
I like Ike. I'll shout it over a mic or a phone or from the highest steeple. Yes, I like Ike, and Ike is easy to like. Stands alone, the choice of we the people. A leader we can call without political noise. He will lead us all as he led the boys. So let's take Ike, a man that all of us like. Makes no deals, his favor can't be curried, and Uncle Joe is worried, 'cause we like Ike.
Uncle Joe, Stalin. So he wasn't running against a political opponent there, he was just saying, I'll be tough with Stalin. And sure enough, Stalin died. We're going to move quickly through a couple more. We've got John Kennedy and Nixon. Nixon's is a... I got an interesting cover of this one.
Mm-hmm. When they look back and weigh everything he's done, they will realize Nixon's the
Here's one for Kennedy.
Next time you fall with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant,
but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops,
there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned that one could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high.
It was a more optimistic time. They had high hopes for Kennedy. Kennedy had high hopes too, I suppose. Of course, his campaign was a time for greatness. And then the catchy jingle, Kennedy, Kennedy, Kennedy. He beat Nixon, of course. Johnson all the way with LBJ, 1964. And here's a real creepy one from Barry Goldwater, his opponent. In your heart, you know he's right. And he insisted on that one. His handler's like, no, you really, really appealing to the overt nut jobs and racists. And of course, the rejoinder that Johnson's supporters came up with, the reply to "in your heart, you know he's right," they say "in your guts, you know he's nuts." So Johnson kind of slaughtered Goldwater in 64. Of course, Nixon took it in 68. And you heard a cover of a Nixon campaign song, and the slogans from 1972, I don't think I could repeat on radio. You know, they all play on his first name, but there is a great one, 1972 anti-democratic party slogan from Missouri Senator Tom Eagleton. He said the Democratic Party's slogan is acid amnesty and abortion for all, which, I don't know, could have worked. Well, we're gonna finish up with no, we skipped around a lot. There's some stuff didn't load. Apologize. This is one you probably haven't heard in about 30 years, and Ronald Reagan took this. This is one of several songs that it seems mostly Republicans took for a campaign song, and Bruce Springsteen said, A, stop using this song, and B, have you listened to this song? So This is one of Ronald Reagan's campaign songs, and it's actually it's a pretty good song. And we're going to go out with this one because even if you weren't born in the USA, you could still become a naturalized citizen, and you can vote. And this is going to be an interesting year for that.